You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. During the next hour, beloved mind scientist Parisha and her guests from around the world will read and discuss various best-selling books with well-known authors. Every show will apply retention techniques designed to help you to absorb powerful knowledge to effectively change your life. Join us every week for a thought-provoking hour and re-listen as often as you can. You will be delighted by what you learn, and you will be excited by the results. Are you ready to take the quantum leap? Here's Parisha.
Greetings. This is Quantum Leap Book Club. And this week we're going to start reading and studying and sharing with you the book from Fred Allen Wolf, Mind into Matter. And I'd like to introduce you to my co-host this week. I have Joyce Mollenhauer, who is in Kingman, Arizona. And Joyce is an RN as well as a homeopathic doctor. And she does a great deal of work for those and has been in service to those who are passing from body to spirit, as well as the healing modalities it's offered through herb and energy healing. And then we also have Geraldine Dalby-Ball, who is in Sydney, Australia. And Geraldine is an environmental engineer. And she works with nature, she talks and communicates with nature, and she's a resource of means and ways for us to enhance our relationship as humans with the beautiful world around us. And then there's Marianne Love, who's in Melbourne, Australia, okay? And Marianne teaches psychotherapy and is a psychotherapist. But she also, when I say teaches it, she actually has modalities of healing in what she does and helping us get control of our own lives and actually expand our consciousness to knowing greater of what we are. So Marianne does all of that for you, okay? And then we have Trina Cooper in Denver, Colorado. Trina, you live on the outskirts of Denver, right? But that's where we're locating it. So, Trina is an entrepreneur, a spiritual teacher, as well as a mentor of business. She has at least two or three businesses that I know of that she partners in and is a great resource of. And a wonderful, wonderful student has been with me for many years. And I feel she duplicates all that I have given her and multiplies it enormously. And then I have Rosemary Heyer, who is in Frankfurt, Germany. And Rosemary, I don't see her particular on the screen here, but I'm sure she's with us somewhere. And Rosemary does actually teaches English to a German population. She also does sacred journeys and brings a lot of people from her country into the sacred areas of North America and around the world. So as you can see, all of my co-hosts are very powerful women, and they're very excited women about working with Fred Allen Wolf's book. We've all read this book at least twice, if not more, okay? And that Fred Allen has a great number of books that he actually works with and has written. Some of them actually experiences in his shamanic life, okay? And he's more than just a physicist. He actually lives his stories, and he goes out and explores his science in life, not just through a textbook or in the classroom or whatever. I've always loved Fred Allen Wolf. I love his humor. He can be quite a scoundrel when he gets really acting up, and I've enjoyed every minute of it when I'm in audience with him. And I've actually had interviews with him in many months and years back. We've interviewed him right here on our program. So I'm very excited to actually begin to discuss his book that we're going to be working with you with. Now, I'm going to ask my co-host to speak about any particular books you have heard and read, and actually some of the Dr. Quantum tapes and CDs that Fred has put out. And I feel that he talks about physics at a level that the lay person can understand. And it's like, as you know, it can get pretty involved when we start looking at all of these scientific discoveries and the new discovery of ourselves, okay? And Fred always brings it home. And one of his books was actually a book that he shared on shamanism. And one of the things I remember, I never got to read the book completely, but when I was actually with a group of people, there were about 18 people who had read this book. And they were all sharing with the larger group that we were all the different things that Fred brought out in his book. And he actually went into a particular native people. I don't want to say too much because you need to go get the book, okay? And that he began to actually do the journeys with them and do many of the medicine ways with them, and had a very resounding experience of his own that he shares very, very excitedly and enthusiastically. And with that, that led me into many of his other, when I actually learned about that book, I actually got interested enough to start actually picking up other books in that, and that's what led me to Mind into Matter. But he has a whole series of books on this, and I would hope any one of you would actually explore any of his Dr. Quantum tapes and CDs. He tells it in stories, and he tells it in a way that you want to get closer to it. I find that when I actually take this into workshops and share it with circles as I teach and work, that I find that my audience starts leaning into the sound and the teachings more, and they find him delightful as I do. And so I have used much of what's in Mind into Matter to actually help people understand a greater layperson's understanding of what physics and the new sciences are teaching us. What I love about it is it keeps lifting consciousness to where we are no longer in a place to where we are being suppressed. We are being liberated by the new sciences. And as far as I'm concerned, Fred was one of the leading pioneers on the front of this. So I'm real excited that we're talking about his stuff today, and I want the co-host to actually share. So let's begin with you, Joyce, since you're bubbling around like there. Do you have something you're trying to find and want to share?
Sure. Great to be on today. I think my most favorite book of Dr. Wolf is this great little one, Quantum. Dr. Quantum's little book of big ideas, where science meets spirit. And in this book, much as Mind into Matter goes into tremendous detail and leads you kind of down the mystery path, helping to make you think clearly, what he's done in this little book is he's pulled just short statements that you can open this book any time of the day and carry this around in your car, and there'll be something that will trigger that will help you look at your day a little bit different. And things like he says, what's out there, the things that you think have so much control over you, depends on what you choose to look for. And where it starts is in here. So that's such a bottom line circumstance of what science is proving through Nassim Haramein and many others these days, is that it all starts with us, and we can create that world to be what we want. So not only is the out there not there until the in here is here, is how we observe what's in here and out there that makes the difference. And it's fascinating to try and embrace the fact that we can alter our memories of things in the past. We can alter memories of our ancestors from long past and recreate what happened in those times. So here we are living in a time when things are changing rapidly. So what better time to be open to what our possibilities are in taking part in making those changes be what we want? And certainly Mind into Matter leads us into how to do that.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Geraldine, can you give us some of your thoughts on some of the things you've shared and read with Dr. Wolf?
Absolutely. So here's the book that I've have, and if you can see the quality of it, it's completely used, and I think that's a main part of it. But it's like, what comes to mind when I'm not holding this book? This book's been by my bedside for a long time, and it's like, open a page and there's information. And I recall when I first read it, it was like people said, it's a heavy book, but persist, because one or two or three readings. And now it's like years after the first reading, and noting too that this was written in 2001. So as has been shared, a pioneer in this area. And we know that, of course, the information from ancient wisdom is way, way, way older. But in terms of an educator, he's passionate. But a key thing that's in this book in particular is to start with the end in mind. And anyone who runs business knows that as a saying. But this gives you the science behind start with the end in mind. And it's the key part of that is when you start with the end in mind, you're actually creating what he calls a point in the future, which then brings information back to the present. And then he describes, this is one stands out for me, he describes the coyote moment. You know, there's this moment where the coyote is on the door. It's the trickster. Yeah. And the trickster is where you, how much are you going to pull from the past? So if you imagine a figure eight, you're at that middle moment, that middle of the figure eight. And you've put something in the top of the figure eight, you know, that you're moving towards. And how much you're going to pull from the past is up to you, because the trickster will be the one to say, well, last time you did it, it was like this, or, you know, it's quite hard. And, you know, the previous person who did it didn't succeed. So it's always knowing who the trickster is, because when those thoughts come up, you can say, ah, I understand, and keep that visual that Dr. Alan Wolf gives us of that figure of eight, and letting us know we're in a time loop. Because we've put the future in place, the future is now influencing our present moment. So it's up to us to allow the future that we've made so clear to come back and to notice those things that come to us in our day and say, ah, that's part of that future that I'm creating. At the same time, being the one managing that trickster at the door who will bring up the reasons why you may or may not be able to do something different, but to see it as the time loop itself and bring from the past that which will enhance moving towards the future rather than using it as a limitation. So I think that the figure of eight, the putting the things in the future, and the deeper knowledge of that he then takes us on, that it's not even that there is a future, present and past, it's all present right now. And he shares the amount of effort that you put between what you see as this current moment and the future one that you've said is up to you. It can be instantaneous. And that's where he's a magnificent science with his double slit experiment as Dr. Quantum. But I'm sure someone else might like to touch on Dr. Quantum and the double slit experiment. But marvelous.
Okay, thank you. What I'm interested in, co-host, is your personal experiences with the material and how it helped you. Not so much what's in the book, but thank you, Geraldine, for going through that. So I'm going to go now to Trina Cooper. And Trina, what have you used and what have you studied of Dr. Wolf's material, and exactly how have you applied it, and how has it helped you along your spiritual development consciousness?
Well, what I love about Dr. Wolf and all of his books, he takes the concepts and makes them so much fun. You'd almost think he's kind of a crazy scientist, because he's like a little bit off the wall when he gets into speaking. That's why, you know, to really experience him, look up some of his YouTubes on Dr. Quantum, because he's fun. And I was one that shied away from science because to me it seemed more boring. And then we got into quantum physics and I was like, oh my gosh, as one of my friends would say, it makes my mind into a mind pretzel and I have to try and figure it all out. And what he does is he makes it fun. He brings it forward. I've got several of his books besides this one, Matter into Feeling, the Little Book of Ideas, the Yoga of Time Travel. There's quite a few of them. They all have sticky notes. They all have writing in the margins. And he kind of brought everything together for me. Being on a spiritual path and really looking for the spiritual side of things, all of a sudden it was like, wait a minute, something's missing because we're missing science. And so diving into the quantum sciences and making it fun the way he has really helped me bring the pieces together. And some of the stuff that he shares really is about the fact that these things got split. And science went one way and spiritual studies went another way. But truly, because we are spirit and we are matter, it's that combination. And one of the combination that we really need to delve into, because we need to become whole. We can't glean everything from one side or glean everything from the other. We really need to start melding them together. One of the pieces he brought forward that I thought was great is when he talked about waves and particles, but he talked about waves of possibility and he talked about waves of probability. And I started noticing in nature how much there were waves. Not only is it like waves in the ocean, waves on when the water gets stirred up, but The clouds are in waves, sound is in waves. Even the formation of mountains seem to be in waves. When you're flying over mountains, there's waves. So there's something around that, that as the physical materializes, it materializes in waves. And there was a quote that he had said about the fact that your choice is, you can try and make it through the wave and come out the other side and be the victim of the wave, or you can learn how to ride it and have a lot of fun. And so for me, it's sort of like, oh, what's the wave of energy happening now? Or what's this wave about? And really, really looking at that. So he's like brought life into science for me and melded the science with the spiritual, which in such a fun way. So I love his books. I would definitely recommend that you join us and, you know, come on board, watch some of his stuff. It's just fun.
Yeah, yes, and you've done a delightful job of expressing all of that, Trina. And the other part of it all is that, Trina, you've always been a person of the heart. And I know in the beginning of my work with you, it was always, you know, because I deal in the sciences a lot with Native spirituality, okay? And I would watch you keep waiting to see, when do we get more to the heart? When do we get more to the heart? And I kept telling you right along, we are getting to the heart. We are getting to the heart. And then all, whoa, this is the heart. This is actually the heart of it. And a lot of people in our spiritual circles have had to go through that. We were all looking for truth by actually having the heart, the medicines of the heart. And then we were afraid that all the science stuff was of the head, right? Of the head, not of the heart. And then we found out that it's the connection to heart and mind. You know what I mean? And then right now, today, what we have actually seen Wolf prepare us for is everything that we're learning and everything through the sciences of the heart. And especially, what is that institute that we go to, Heart Mind Institute? And how they're actually showing how this connects. And that's what science and physics gave us. So you put that together, so beautiful. And it was delightful watching you share all of that. So I'm going to go over to Marianne in Melbourne, Australia. Marianne, and how can you share with some of your experiences with Wolf's work?
I think his work has been transformative for me because he's helped me get an understanding of moving past what we've been limited with in how we've been raised to understand what time is, understand how our senses, we've been taught that our senses are the truth, like how we hear, see, and he's really blown the lid open on all of that, like to helping you see that if you didn't have any of your senses, you would still be here. And so therefore, what are we actually in the context of everything then is the consciousness that comes from a nothingness. And that really blows your mind when you're trying to understand yourself in this world and get like some control over it. And when you actually find out it's all illusionary, really. And I think there are some tools, and I often hear his voice comes into my head sometimes because I've been like, sometimes I take him on walks with me because he's got some really good audios on Audible. It's probably on other platforms, but Audible is one of the ones that I use. And he gave us a tool of considering anything that we think is real and then considering what if it wasn't. And so then if you consider what if that isn't true, then it actually unravels what we've been so fixed on as true. And then it opens up to exploring what all the other possibilities are. So I'll use that if I get a bit locked into an idea or a state or a fixed perspective. Some other things I've really loved about what he's spoken about is that, you know, he really goes into DNA and genealogy and how all of us are made up of so many different parts of consciousness based on actually all the genetic information that's within our systems. And that at any moment we could be an actor in a scenario acting out any one of those roles. We could be mother, daughter. We could be any one of the roles out of our genetic history. But actually we're beyond all those roles. We're none of those roles. And to help, because as a psychologist, I kind of like those perspectives because he uses that in therapy, that we can free ourselves from any role as long as we don't over-identify with the role being who we are, that it just opens the lid I mean, he takes us down so many rabbit holes. It's sort of, it really, I mean, you said it's in layman terms, and I guess it is, but because he's not putting those formulas, mathematical formulas out there in some of these books, but still, it does, yeah, it really blows your mind.
Yes, it does. Now, when you're actually talking about this, you do a therapy, and I'll let you explain that, to where people get to play the different role models that are actually making up their circle and actually the greater influence, I guess the closer and more intimate influence for us. So can you share with us how maybe some of what Wolf's given you with that helps that, and just exactly what is that particular part of therapy that you do?
The therapy that I've been taught is Gestalt therapy or psychodrama.
Yeah.
And that allows you to actually pull up in any one scenario, you'll have different pockets of your unconsciousness that act themselves out. And some of those pockets could have been established when you're 2 years old or 5 years old or 10 years old, and they can dominate a current experience because they're still sort of fixed. And so if you can consciously act a role out, let's say you are in a situation, you're in a conflict with a partner, and that you notice those roles, oh, there's a little 10-year-old actually now in this conflict, not the adult me, but the younger me is actually acting itself out. So in therapy, we can bring that out very consciously. We can actually have that role, the 10-year-old, act out. And then in the acting out and the reversing of roles, say now the adult's present because we can take out the younger one and now they're both present, they can reverse roles and they can talk to each other. And so as the consciousnesses reverse roles, they actually update each other on the different needs and the different realities and the different concerns. And so it's almost like a program can update. Otherwise, it's just stuck in its original form, the original program that was programmed in at that age. And if that's pre-verbal, let's say that's at 6 months of age, then that can be very confusing to overcome when you're a 52-year-old. Because you don't know what's happening. It's sort of like emotions are coming out and no words, because there were no words at that time. And so, you know, just having room to allow those pockets of reality and consciousness to express just means that they can be freed, really,
yeah,
and updated.
How do you connect that to the other therapy you do with actually the eye movement?
It's in a way similar, because the psychodrama just brings it up consciously, a bit like a theatre production. You might be acting it out on the stage, so the stage being the therapeutic room. But in EMDR therapy, it's more going internally, so a bit more meditative. And again, like let's say you're in EMDR therapy, you might be addressing a really painful belief, like I'm unsafe, for example. And when you got that belief so strongly ingrained, maybe you were only two at that time and it had a memory associated with it. So in EMDR therapy, you go more internally to find those pockets of consciousness and you use sort of a free association in it. So, you know, you might start with a memory when you're two, or you might even start with a memory last week that this same, you know, I was talking about the couple fighting, maybe you process a memory from last week, but in that processing, when you're going through EMDR using eye movements, which is, takes you right into a quieter meditative state, you might remember the two-year-old experience and that feelings might come up, and then you see it all act itself out, similar to psychodrama, but you don't need to act it. You just watch it all unfold and you watch, you observe it like you would in psychodrama, you observe it from another position. And in that observation and in allowing yourself just to feel those feelings, they can also transmute and they can also update and be let go of and freed from. So they're similar. They're just coming at it from almost opposite sides of a circle. They're opposite angles of actually addressing observation of the same things. It's my experience of it.
And can you see how what we're looking at in actually reviewing this book of Mind into Matter, how it fits in everything you're doing and how it actually has opened up the frontier of that?
It does, because it plays with time, it plays with reality, it plays, I mean, what is all of it? You know, just perception, subjective perception of all of that. So what we want is to create a beautiful, happy, subjective experience on this planet, and that's all to do with freeing ourselves from, you know, perceptions around time and perceptions around truth and creating the reality that we want. So it's all very connected.
And Trina had actually mentioned that she's read his book, Feelings into Matter. And a lot of what you're saying and the actual root of all of that, that we still respond to unconsciously. He covers a lot of that also in the feelings into matter. And really all we are is an accumulation of all the experiences we've had. And we have to then begin to sort. And I think Fred Allen gives us such an easy pathway to do that. And especially starting with books like this particular book. Whenever I met people who I'm going to call straight people, meaning they had no esoteric studies, no spiritual studies, New Age or anything, I would introduce them actually into the studies of these things through Fred Allen's book, Mind into Matter, because he makes it so down to earth and just so practical. Okay. And so with that, it actually starts a track to where we begin to do self-discovery. And as we do that, you like what you're doing with your therapy, we have to pull out whatever root of that in our consciousness that actually keeps making us become and live this character that we don't even understand ourselves. We question ourselves. What did you do that? How come you said that? You know what I mean? And it's like, where's that all coming from? And the more we get into actually studying and pursuing the truth of this, and actually being very honest with ourselves, okay, being very honest with ourselves, actually helps us begin to experience life from a freedom that we've only read about in science fiction. And I just love the fact that Fred can actually open those doors with us in these many different books he's wrote. One of the books that he actually shared in the Shamanic series that he did was actually, I had such a playful experience with that because when I was a very small baby, okay, and these stories have been shared with me over my life. And I was in a room on the floor because I was raised basically with the Cherokee grandmother. So we did have houses that just had earth floors, no tiles, no flooring or anything, right? And I'm in the floor playing. And this wonderful, beautiful relative of mine who I love with all my heart and trusted with everything. Obviously, everybody tells me her and I was looked like we were attached together by a cord, okay? And so I trusted her. And in crawling through the door comes a snake. It actually starts crawling toward me as I'm playing in the floor. And I'm all mesmerized by it and intrigued. You know, here's a live toy, right? And so I'm looking at it and reaching for it and everything. And she walks into the area and she lets out this blood-curdling scream, right? And I reacted to that. And it took me till I was in my 20s to actually deal with my fear of snakes and my dislike of them. And I had to actually pull that out to be comfortable, to be in any area to where I was not going to be safely locked into something that I knew nothing could crawl into. And so I find that all of the particular experiences and stories that we can share and how we teach is exactly what Fred does in his books. And it helps somebody relate to something that they can pull out now and start working with and actually get past that. And I think you have to be offering that to a lot of the people you serve, and I'm very happy to hear that. Okay, I don't see that Rosemary has joined us, so I'm going to go back and ask Geraldine. Geraldine, would you like to share some of the experiences you've had with Fred's material and how it's benefited you?
Definitely. There's a part called Braided Realities, and in this, it's been any moment in time where I might have had, as we said, as I mentioned before, that thing of pulling memories from the past and allowing the past to create the future. And he shows in the Braided Realities that being a multidimensional being, any possibility that could have been already was. So then, in essence, I could rewrite the story of what I perceived as the past as a different outcome. And if I'm able to allow it to come to my mind and write it as a different outcome, then it is a different outcome.
Right.
And so being a different outcome, it allows the braiding. So it's almost saying, okay, you could exist on a number of parallels. In any parallel, you could be the most amazing at whatever you think you are, your best self. So when you're looking at your own so-called past, so that's what I would then look at. Okay, I could look at my past and I could read it through this particular lens. You know, maybe I wasn't around for my children enough. Maybe I worked too much. You know, I could go on like that and find evidence in my memory to show that. And then that is. Or I could say, wow, I've been a really good role model of, you know, being independent and helping young people stand on their own feet. I could have, again, from the same past, pull up different aspects of it. I could even be almost totally fictitious and make up a past. And the more focus and the more I recalled that past, it could be like I might have watched a movie and some of that movie might slip in, because as we know, the part of the brain that takes a movie in is the same part of the brain that recalls a, you know, a physically lived memory. So it's really up to me at that point, that trickster point again, using his concept of braided realities, which of the realities of the past, which memories do I want? And the more I admit and put energy and focus to a certain memory, the more it becomes the reality in this particular present time. So he's really opened this door. It's out of the box. It's a bit loopy to think of to start with. But the past, you can change the past. And that's just one of the techniques. So whether you want to believe that you've actually changed the past or not, I know that when I change my memory, it changes who I am right now. And I found that a very powerful tool, that it's my choice to bring in whatever of the realities of the past could have been or were.
That's real good. And that gives us exactly a place to start and draw a new line and a new pathway in life. So I really appreciate that point, yes. And I'm going to go to Joyce. Joyce, is there something more you would like to share in what any of Wolf's books have actually given you insight and helped you along the path?
Yes. What I would like to share is the brainwashing I have received in the medical field of only concentrating on the so-called objective. And the objective is really everything that's out there. It doesn't relate. The things that are in here in your own mind and your own hearts has always been considered subjective. And that you can't even put that in a charting unless you are very careful about saying, this is what the patient said, or this is what the patient reported. But there wasn't a lot of strength put on that. So I know that's changing today. I know that the hospitals are getting better about that and the doctors. But I think there's still a long way to go. And certainly Dr. Wolf can enlighten people on understanding that everything is in here. The out there is what we've created. And we want to know with our patients what's inside them. What are they thinking? How have they created what they are living with today? And then we can make a difference. So that's really important.
It really is. And I think you do a great deal of that too. I feel the service that you've given over your life and actually being there with people in the most tremendous moments of knowing they don't have much time left. Sometimes just being present, as I've watched you be, actually is you actually are there in that presence, and they grasp far more of what you know than you have to speak. And I think you knowing that and trying to actually be more of the heart and more subjective with them, I'm sure that that's helped many people in those moments of confusion and fear. So thank you for sharing that, okay? And then I think that we can go back over and actually ask Trina. Trina, I want to go back to you because I know that you and your husband actually work with what we would consider the restoration industry that goes in after tornadoes and fires and disasters, right? And how do you find your ability to actually help people? I know that you're doing classes at these expos that you guys put on, that you actually are doing classes to where you're introducing this greater expanded thought of consciousness. How are you doing that? What base are you doing that from?
Well, what's interesting, I started first off working with health and wellness, working with the physical body, and the idea that individual people are the assets of every company. I mean, without the people, you didn't have the company. And to get them, you know, get them full. But one of the things that I'll talk about is the fact that a human being is spiritual. It's a human being is mental. A human being is emotional. And the human being is also physical. And all of those things need to fire together 100%, because if one goes off, it can knock you out totally. And also businesses are similar. Businesses have a physical component in all their in their, you know, their hardware, their hard assets, their trucks, their equipment, whatever. They also have an emotional side, which is the culture that they have. They have a mental side, which is the planning piece of it. And they also have a spiritual side, which is it's that drive, it's the passion, it's the vision, it's the mission that's there. And again, in a company, it can get knocked off and, you know, knocked off kilter. So if a truck goes out or someone comes in a bad mood, they can completely throw off the business for a day.
Yeah.
So, or even longer. So bringing these concepts of this whole and complete, which he talks about, that we're spirit, that we're matter, we need to do it. One of the things that I love that he brought in my spiritual training, they always talked about the universe as uni, as one, and verse as story or song or the word. And so we're one in this song and we're all one. But he brings in this idea of you as Y-O-U in the verse.
Yes.
And so it's like, oh, wait a minute. I have something to do with this. And so some of the things I would like to impart is that actual, the owners, the employees, all these people have something to do with the story that they're creating. And one piece I'll teach is about how you write the story. You create the story of your business. You allow the story to unfold. And it's important for people to understand that they're creating what's coming out in their work, in their families, in their homes. And so he gave me some really interesting clues in how to present that material in a way that you could talk to, like you said, the straight people, the ones who don't understand some of these concepts, but be able to inch the ideas in and get them to understand that they have a lot more to do with what happens and taking on that responsibility, responding with ability in their businesses. And the other piece is about the actual clients and the fact that you need to take a different perspective. You need to step into their shoes to understand where they're coming from, especially from a disaster point of view, and how important it is to to really step into their shoes and see if they're being panicky, see if they're upset, see how they're responding to you, and understand that you're going to create the outcome of the service that you provide.
Yes.
And he just brings in so many interesting concepts that can be brought into all these different situations, whether it's business, whether it's home life, whether it's volunteer work, activism. There's just so many things he blends together. It's just fabulous.
I share most often with people when he comes up in discussion, and many, many times along my path, people actually acknowledge him from learning whatever something that they do. And so one of the things that I always share is in Cleveland, Ohio, at one of his conferences, he actually was doing something at a Unity church that had a very large auditorium. And he had invited the university students, all the students of physics and some of the particular subjects that he works with, right? And they were all sitting in front of me and in the three or four rows up front, right? And I was sitting behind the particular group that was very active in his studies and had known him quite a bit and were talking to each other about what they knew about him and how excited they were to see him, you know, and everything. And so Fred comes out and there's a big white board on the stage and then there's a podium, right? And so he's walking around this white board and this podium and he's talking, you know, he's talking and they think he's talking to himself, right? And so he then begins to use his hands to instruct whatever, you know, like to do this, to do that, right? And the students begin to say, what is he doing? You know, I mean, he went on with this for a couple, 3 minutes, right? And so everybody's wondering, what is he doing? You know? And so then he stops and he says that he apologizes to all of us and begs our pardon for the fact that these people that are with him here are just not being cooperative. And when he looks at us and he says, of course, you all see the spirits that's here on the stage with me. And I watched all these students, you know, in E.T., how the little girl, the E.T.'s throat goes up when he gets scared. His head goes up and his neck comes down. I saw all of these students' necks expand at least two inches up from my column, just looking at him, terrified of what he's saying, you know. And from there, just as unchallenged with that as possible, he immediately goes into science, you know. And it's like, I could watch the students, all of them had lost it, you know. They were all whispering in each other's ears and everything else. I don't think they heard anything of the first 10 minutes of what he was teaching, because they were still dealing with ghosts, you know. And it was so funny. And he didn't even mention it till the very end, when he was finished with his presentation, I think, which was an in-depth, beautiful layman's term on how to understand this, right? And at the end, when he's standing there by the podium, he looks over to his left and he says, and you all may take a bow because you have been of some assistance here, right? And so at that point, all the students jumped up and started applauding him, you know. And it's like, I just sat there and laughed because I thought my sides was going to hurt, because I'm sure all of them, it had to change their life that somebody they admired as much as him in the field of their study is up there talking about ghosts and spirits, you know. And then, like I said, he just did a 180-degree turn. It went right into, you know, the textbook version of everything. And that's just Fred. I've watched him do this so many times where he just totally shocks his audience into reality of listening to him after that, you know. I mean, so it was just so exciting and everything with me. And like when we actually, Michael DeLar and I went to his room after that to actually do an interview. And so I told him, you know, when do you grow up, Fred? As long as I've known you, you keep shocking people and just throwing them out of the room almost, you know. And he laughed and he said, but then every one of them heard every word I said after that, didn't they? And I told him, absolutely, you know, absolutely. But yeah, he actually plays clown like that a lot. I actually saw him another occasion. And at first it looked, you know, like people didn't understand what he was doing. And he kept walking around his stool. The stool that they had on the stage for him. He kept walking around it and everything. And so he finally looks like he's looking off the stage on the sidelines to somebody that's there, you know. And he goes, what do you expect me to do with this? Okay. And then, you know, you see everybody in the audience like looking around to see who's going to answer it, you know. And then he looks at the stool and he says, if you don't mind, this is my show. Could you possibly get off my stool? You know. And then he just politely gets up and walks over and sits down on the stool at that point and looks over to the left where they're, and he says, thank you. And so, I mean, he has his way of where he brings that part of the sciences they're teaching us, that we're more than body, even in those days, you know, and actually yeah, continuation. He deals a lot in adding the continuation of life in everything that he teaches. And you had mentioned that you've also worked with his book, The Yoga of Science of Time.
Yeah.
Or Parallel Worlds. I mean, he is so natural with that, because in his meditations, which I have attended with him, this man goes way out. And it doesn't take him long. He does. You're not talking about somebody that's drunk or doing drugs. You know what I mean? And he goes into such deep areas that his aura just completely takes over a room. I mean, so he's experiencing those parallel worlds. He can actually come back after meeting himself in one of those worlds and share his experiences and teaching us as he goes how natural that is to us as human beings. So I love how he just opens the arena to all of the impossibilities to being so possible and so real. So I'm really excited with him, working with him on that.
Yeah.
Hey, let's see. Is anyone else wanting to share something else that you haven't shared already? Anyone?
Yes. I'd like to.
Okay.
I'd like to read this quote, because I think it covers some of the things that we've been talking about. Asking yourself the deeper questions opens up new ways of being in the world. It brings in a breath of fresh air. It makes life more joyful. The real trick to life is not to be in the know, but to be in the mystery. So that mystery is what he teaches us in his book and in all of his books, how to explore that, get in touch with it, and realize that's where we want to be. We want to be in the mystery. We want to be in the unknown. We want to discover what we have not been willing to open our eyes to before.
That's really, really good. Anyone else? We're coming into the last few minutes here that would like to say something in closing, Geraldine?
Just about time. There's a fantastic part in the book about time. And I find personally, it's my current big thing to just get on top of, this idea of busyness and not enough time. When I talk to other people, some of the common things are, oh, is it that time already? Or haven't the time gone? Oh, the kids are almost finished school. Time is this thing that is something to master. And quite often in the book, it's got the science behind how time can sometimes feel slow, how time can feel really fast, and that it's up to us to put these tools in place that our perspective can change. And when our perspective changes, we have as much time as we need. And one of the key things that's also mentioned in that is when we are planning on an outcome, he said if it's a long-range goal, do it daily. And that gave such a beautiful imagery, like of the Grand Canyon or here in Australia, the Blue Mountains, the do it daily. So all of a sudden it didn't become this massive thing that I had to find time in an already busy day to fit it. I could just go, wow, consistency, the water that moves down the Grand Canyon made this magnificence. The water that moved down the Blue Mountains made this magnificence. So his teaching of time has allowed me to say, even if it's X amount of time on a clock, that is part of my day every day. Yes. And that is something that does make a difference in my life.
Yes. Very, very good. And I agree 100%. Okay, anyone else? We have a couple of minutes.
Yeah, this is Marianne. Yeah, the biggest take home for me is my appreciation of him, the fact that he has in a way come from a scientific perspective, a bit like I've come out of the university system and got myself a label, then in so many ways the label is more limiting than it gives. And that he gives so much permission just to blow open some of all that limitation and uses science and good quality kind of exploration and study just to give permission to explore ourselves. And I think, you know, that's just opened up so much for me as a therapist. I'm a better therapist because of that and a better human because of that.
That's very good to hear. I think that I would have to say the same for my own pathway of teaching. I had to find ways to express what I knew in science and words, even make it believable, because of how I was raised, I think anybody would consider that whatever I shared would be science fiction. And it actually starts with Fred and those scientists of that particular day and time. We're talking 60 years ago, okay? It actually helped me find words on how to help people understand what I was trying to explain and share. So I agree with you very consistently with that. That's beautiful. So we're going to close now, and we're going to actually ask you to please go, because we will start next Wednesday, actually reading Fred's book and sharing parts of it as we go along. And picking out parts that we feel we can actually help you understand how you could maybe better apply it, okay? And so if you just get the book, follow along with us. That's Mind Into Matter by Fred Allen Wolf, and that we can actually join. And if you don't want to get the paperback, it's also on audio. You can go into some of the bookstores that you have online, and you can actually order it and follow us along with your phone and actually be a part of it. But actually hearing from you on our Facebook is really important to us. I get a tremendous amount of communication on my personal lines and on my personal media. But I'm looking forward to you all actually sharing more with all of us and the co-hosts. And I think that if you co-hosts actually get more active with the Facebook, putting your particular interest on there too, it would be great for our listeners to actually realize, especially today, hearing my co-host and all of the varieties of ideas and interests and their own enthusiasm and passion for actually helping live conscious, because each one of us have come to a greater part of life, not only because of our relationship and our love of each other, but the experiences that we've shared with each other and the many avenues of pursuits that we have taken on. And we invite you to be with us with that. So get involved, get on the Facebook, talk to us, share with us your questions, actually share with us some of maybe your experiences with the book. That would be fantastic. And we're going to do our best to get Fred at least visibly with you, maybe talking with us for about 15 minutes throughout the time we're studying the book, okay? So we thank you for your time. We look forward to next week. And meanwhile, you be safe, be careful, and be happy. OCO.
Thank you for listening to Quantum Leap Book Club. For more information where you can contact us, go to loaradionetwork.com/quantum-leap. Have a great week.